well. We went to the market. We found the milk carton. Kevin McHale's picture is on it. And lo and behold, we cashed it in just in time to get the coach on the show to take us around the globe as we span the NBA trade deadline and more. Coach, I hope you are well.
I am doing fantastic. Just got done a little therapy for my bad ankle, and I'm ready to play good golf.
I have seen that thing. I don't wish that upon anyone. And hopefully at some point they can remove the small volleyball from the side of your leg.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That small volleyball doesn't do anything for me.
I would imagine the turn motion in a golf swing is not as easy when you are swinging it around a donut.
No, I hear you. But it's actually getting better, and my golf game's improving. So, all right, so I was in therapy the last hour and a half. What happened?
So I think the first and foremost, the winner of all winners for me during the trade deadline, the Toronto Raptors, they got a guy that you are very familiar with because he gave certain guys that'll go remain nameless with a lot of facial hair on a team you used to coach fits in P.J. Tucker to add to Serge Ibaka. So it looks like Toronto may be going for it, knowing Kevin Love is out and the Cavs may be vulnerable. So that deal is done. The ones that kind of are head-scratchers, the Rockets sent K.J. McDaniels to the Nets for nothing. We have not heard a single thing, but we're assuming that because the Nets were under the cap, maybe you can verify this, it could be just future considerations and draft picks.
Okay. It'll be called future considerations, and then you say you have some kind of weird provision on a draft choice that never gets transferred.
Right.
That's usually what you do. Basically, they were just taking them off their hands for the roster.
Okay. Tyler Ennis to the Lakers for Huertas, who they immediately are going to cut. The question then becomes, why wouldn't you just cut them yourself? But it ends up saving you about $233,000.
Right.
The only thing that I can think of, and Barry and I have been talking about it here, is that they're trying to stockpile some money and roster spots because they're going to look for the buyouts that are coming to try and add what they did not get after they got Lou Williams. Yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, that's one way to look at it. I'm not sure why they would do that. But, I guess they're just going to look for roster spots. And then you got the buyout guys, and you might be able to get a quality player to come in and give you some time. And, you know, it's got to be a veteran guy. It's so hard bringing in young guys in with 25 games to go and have them figure out what your system is. So it'd probably be a veteran guy that I think they can plug in.
Hey, Coach, I'm curious how these things go down. Like, how much of this is a game of chicken, and how much of it is just a conversation between two guys trying to make their teams better?
Well, a lot of it's just conversation. And, you know, there's always chicken that starts off a game of chicken where you're saying, well, I'll only trade this guy for X or only trade this guy for Y. And the prices are really unbelievably high. You're just hoping someone buys you can get a great deal. But, you know, that's why not much happens in these trade deadlines. You know, it's more stuff can happen around the draft. We got draft choices, and you got teams that really want to change the direction of their team. Not much happens. A lot of talk, a lot of possibilities, a lot of, well, maybe later we'll look at this again, or let's talk again next summer, or, you know, at the draft. But not much happens during these days. I was actually kind of surprised that Boogie Cousins went, but they just wanted out of him, and you know, New Orleans had the best offer for him.
Okay, Coach, so tell me this. We all know the hard deadline, or what people think is the hard deadline, was 2 o'clock Central, but you've been a general manager. You've been through these deals. What is the exact rule? As long as two teams are discussing a deal and get the league involved, you have whatever time you need to finish it. Is that right?
Well, you have to have the league on the phone by 2 Central.
Okay.
And that means that you've got to have the structure of a deal. You can't call the league up and say, hey, hang around the phone for the next 5 hours. You might have something. You got to have something pretty imminent. But it can go by as long as you have the league on by 1:59 Central, you're okay.
All right, so my man Nick, who sometimes is shy but is a huge part of our show, he is a basketball aficionado, and he had a question for you that I want him to ask you directly.
Yeah, Coach, so take us through, like, which team pays for travel expenses, moving expenses, because I know to a certain extent some of these players know that at any moment they can get traded, but mm-hmm. You know, Corey Brewer just got traded from the Rockets. He probably had an apartment, probably had a lease. I mean, who informs him of the move, the expenses, and who's going to cover it?
The team that you get sent to covers the move. So right now the Lakers will be covering Corey's moving expenses and cars and furniture and everything else. And they'll set you up. I think it's 6 weeks you have in a hotel after a trade where they'll pay for your hotel room and housing for a while to get you on your feet. So it's all the team that you're sent to. And conversely, the Houston will take care of loose stuff.
All right, I want to ask you about Magic Johnson. Your friend Larry Bird has done this. You have done this. And now another guy from the heyday era of Celtics, Lakers, and when the league was absolutely fantastic and more physical, gets into a job with the Lakers. Your thoughts on Magic taking over, and what kind of job do you expect him to do?
I think he'll do a good job. I think that Magic, having been away for a little while, you know, he's been around basketball, he's done some stuff for ESPN, he's always around the game, but I think running businesses and just kind of getting away gives you a whole different perspective on stuff. I think they'll be healthy for him. I think he's coming in fresh. He's not a guy like, I think maybe Phil Jackson came in and said, well, this will be easy or whatever. I think Magic knows how hard it's going to be, but he's ready for that. I think he's really ready for a 5, 6, 7, 8 year run at this thing and try to get the Lakers being significant again. And I think he'll do a good job. I think all of his life experiences between playing and coaching and running his businesses and being a very successful businessman on his own right away from basketball will actually help him.
Okay. So with that being said, what about the influx of all these agents that are now, you know, Lon Babby started it to some degree, running the Phoenix Suns, but you've got the Golden State situation. Now it looks like Rob Pelinka is going to give up his agency in part so that he can be the general manager of the Lakers. Your old roommate, Bill Duffy, an agent. But, I mean, is that something that looks like it's going to be a common thread now and a trend in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, who better to understand how to get money out of the bank than the robbers. I mean, you know, the agents know all the tricks. They've worked that collective bargaining agreement inside out and one way from another, and they really know a lot of stuff. What they really know, they know all the other agents. They know the business very well. They know the collective bargain. I think it was a really good move by Magic. Magic doesn't want to get weighed down on a bunch of crap. He wants to do the basketball stuff. Pelinka will do all of the the salary cap and all that stuff and take care of that. But they really do know the salary cap, and they really know the collective bargaining agreement. They know every little loophole in it. So, like I say, baby, the best people to get you to get money out of the bank are the robbers. They're gonna
believe me, that's the headline. You caught our attention with that one. That was fantastic. A great line by you. And it still doesn't make up for being late, but it's a good start. So let me ask you this. I watched, and you were actually texting me while I was watching, that interview with Kevin Garnett that you did, which I thought was fantastic and still is available on NBA TV. But first of all, how much made the air, and was there more compelling stuff that you just couldn't fit into an hour? Because that thing could have gone on 2-3 hours, and I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, the interview did go on for 2 or 3 hours. Kevin and I talked, geez, for 3.5 hours. You know, I think they got the most of the good stuff in there. I think there was a few things that they just didn't make the cut. But most of the stuff, they're just talking about Kevin's life growing up, before NBA, his, you know, days in Minnesota, those Boston days, and kind of how that whole thing happened, and then just kind of a synopsis of his career. And so there was nothing, I don't think they missed anything of major significance, but I just think there's some also, Kevin's got an interesting story, and he just was an interesting guy, and all those things that we talked about, we had talked about sitting in my office at one point or another, just how he grew up, his life, and you know what made him who he is. And we spent a lot of time together, Kevin and I did, in his first 10, 12 years in the league. And it's really good to get back with him and get our relationship back on solid ground. We were rocky there for a while, but I knew it always come back because we shared a lot together.
And that's what I wanted to get to, because I knew that he looked at you almost like a father figure, and then I knew that there was a time you and I had some conversations where there was a little bit of a falling out. How much of that changed because now that he's out of the game, he seems to be more relaxed? Because, you know, I look at the way when Ray Allen left the Celtics and the fact that suddenly one of his boys, so to speak, or a guy that he was very close to, now suddenly he was cold shouldering and it was treating like, you know, dirt. But I just wonder, from your perspective, was it already water under the bridge before the interview, or was that something you guys were able to hash out even more when you guys sat down?
Nah, it was before the interview. I would say a couple of years ago, Kevin and I spent some time together and kind of got everything put aside. And, you know, he talked about it a little bit. It's the business of basketball that sometimes get into friendships and mentorships and all the things we had going. But I knew that our bond was way, way too close, that he was going to survive this. And it just needed some time to go by. And I was pulling for him when he went to Boston. I was so happy they won the championship. And I was working for TNT. The second in 10 when they lost in game 7, and how that game hurt me, and he talked about game 7 and how hard it was and stuff, and he still thinks about that. So I was pulling for him. He's a great young man. I really like him, but we had kind of mended our fences 3-4 years ago.
Well, that's good to hear, because I'm telling you, in terms of legends of the game is one thing, but I mean, he seems like he was always my favorite player because he didn't want to do the bro hugs and my boy plays on the other team thing. When he crossed those lines to play the game, it was game on, and that's the way you guys played the game when you guys were playing. I love that about both you guys.
Yeah, no, Kevin was definitely game on. I promise you that. He was like that as a rookie. Even though he didn't have any idea what he was doing, he was competing. The other team was the enemy. He didn't want to talk to him. He just wanted to get after him. And I really liked that about him. He never lost that. And I think the other thing that I always saw in Kevin, he loved to play basketball. And there are guys who play basketball because it gives you a lot of money, gives you access to a lot of things. And then there are guys who play basketball because they love to compete and they love the game of basketball. That's who Garnett was.
First guy you talked about, all they got to do is go to Wikipedia and look up Kelvin Cato in this town, and they'll know exactly what the other side of the equation looks like in that regard.
And I hate to tell you, that's more than Kelvin Cato, my man. There's probably about half the league right now plays because of all the stuff it gives them. And when you just say, hey, how about just the sheer competition of going out there and trying to kick someone's ass? They look at you like, oh, I'm not into that. And you're like, that's the only reason you play. Like, I tell you, I promise you, that during my career, if they just said, well, you guys aren't getting paid tonight, I just said, let's play anyway, see who's better. I'm sweaty, I'm ready to go, I'm warmed up, let's go. Let's find out who's better. The end of the day, that's what it really was about, who is better.
That is fantastic. Awesome. Coach, we're going to let you go. We'll make it short this week because I know you got to get that foot in ice, but we appreciate the time. Hit them straight tomorrow, and I'll catch up with you, if not this weekend, we'll talk next week.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
That was Coach Kevin McHale. And as always, he is candid, he is funny, and he gives you some stuff you're not going to get anywhere else.